kind of a given, isn't it? You guys kind of already know which way we're headed, don't you? We're gonna talk about giving thanks. But I can probably guarantee that you've never heard it like this, or at least with one of the scriptures that I'm going to use this morning. And it just I just read across it. I think it was earlier in the week, and I'm going, Lord, that really totally applies. And so why don't you put that first scripture up there? Yeah, look at this. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. There should be Kleenexes in front of you, underneath the chair there, if you got all snotty because I started crying. You have to love me. You don't have to like me, but you got to love me. Here we go. Well, before we jump into this scripture, you know, Thanksgiving is this wonderful time of year. I think it's extremely important. I think one of the reasons it's important is for us to kind of slow down a little bit and to reflect. To reflect on some of those things that we're thankful for. And I think that God has got to be on the list, don't you? Jesus has got to be on that list. We're thankful. He provides for us each and every day, does he not? He takes care of us. He walks with us. And well, guess what? Sometimes he's probably carrying us through, you know? You're awful big for me to be carrying you, you know? But he carries us, and he provides for us. And I think it's a wonderful time to reflect on God's faithfulness in our lives. And, of course, family is one of those major things that we're thankful for. And I'm right there as well. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for our extended family. What a blessing. But this morning, let's look at this verse. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8 says, "Give thanks to the Lord." What a great idea. And in reality, most of us just did that. If you're at home, you may have done that in the living room or in the bedroom as you were watching as you're watching online this morning. Give thanks to the Lord. It's not very hard to do. Matter of fact, that doesn't cost you much, does it? Maybe just some time. Really, very little energy. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Isn't God great? He is. He most certainly is great. And then look at the next line. It says, "Let the whole world know what he has done." I don't think we do that quietly. We let the whole world know by just communicating God's goodness and his faithfulness. And it's being intentional in encouraging other people and as we give thanks to who God is and for who God is. Give thanks to the Lord. Obviously, that would resonate this week and even this month. But I want to take you to a scripture that I'm pretty sure I did not investigate this, but I'm pretty sure no other preachers used for a Thanksgiving service. Deuteronomy. Raise your hand without looking at the screen. Who can spell Deuteronomy? Two of you. Two and a half of you. He said, "I can spell it wrong." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. Now, before I read this, I want to help you understand. This is the Ten Commandments. This is number 10. Anybody know the Ten Commandments? Of course, you've heard the Ten Commandments. I guess I lied earlier. We are getting our exercise, aren't we? This is number 10. And look at what it says. This is the law that God gave to Moses. Moses then gave that to the people. Look what it says. You must not covet. Hang on. I can't go there. Let me throw out some of the other Ten Commandments first. Real quick. I'm not going to mention anything more. I'm just going to read, kind of highlight these other ones. You know, the first one, you must not have any other gods but me. Number two, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or any other image, or bow down to them. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You might know that the other version says, don't take the Lord's name in vain. That is misusing God's name. That is speaking as if it was God speaking when it's not, type of a thing. It's not representing him right. Said I wasn't going to do that, and I just did it. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping holy, honor your father and your mother. And all the teenagers said, amen. That was a little weak, teenagers. You must not murder. I think that one probably belongs in the Ten Commandments, don't you think? You must not commit adultery. Also belongs in there. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. God wants us to be honest people. We're not taking things that don't belong to us. We're doing good to others around us and not harming them. Look at this one. Look at number 10. You must not covet your neighbor's wife. That's what God said. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Look, he continues. You must not covet your neighbor's house or land, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Don't covet. We shouldn't covet. Now, what is coveting? Coveting is saying, well, wow, I really like what they have and I want it now. It's kind of also this attitude. Anybody ever heard the saying, keeping up with the Joneses? It's also that kind of an attitude where, well, I got to have everything that they have. So that then I feel like I have status because of that. So there's really, this is a heart issue, isn't it? It's a heart issue. It's saying, don't covet those other things. Do you know what the opposite of coveting would be? In my mind, in my opinion, it would be us being grateful, us being thankful, instead of us saying, well, the grass is always greener over there. Maybe we need to start thinking, hey, Jesus, I'm grateful for what you've given to me. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my vehicle. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my this whatever you've given to me, because as our auctioneer said yesterday, it's all God's money anyway, right? And didn't you say that? Did I take it out of context? Did I use it right? All right. Okay, I'm safe. Whew. Thank you, Jim, for doing that yesterday. That was fun. And John and Brandy. And had lots of fun doing that. Yeah, your boys had a blast. That's right. But here the word says not to covet. God says that he wants to keep his people with the right heart and a right attitude. Isn't that, it seems kind of weird, because you wouldn't think that this affects anybody. It doesn't affect somebody else, right? Like murdering and committing adultery and stealing. But this is the thing that will steal your joy, won't it? Because, well, I don't have what they have. I don't have what they have. And then we get into this mindset of, well, God isn't able to do that. God isn't blessing me because he hasn't given me that or this or that or whatever those things might be. And so this really is a hard issue, isn't it? It's a hard issue where we have to say, okay, I don't want what other people have. I'm grateful for what you've given to me. And really it's, God, thank you for giving to me, putting these different things and individuals in my life. Thank you for allowing me to be a good steward. So in reality, we're not owners of these things. We're just simply managers of them. The finances or the different things that God allows us to do. We're managers. We're stewards of them. But then we have to come to the realization in our mind and in our heart of hearts to say, I'm not going to covet what somebody else has. And I don't want to be legalistic here, okay? So what I'm not saying is, if you drive down the road and you pass a really nice truck, you can say, "Wow, that's a really nice truck." Does that make sense? But don't allow it to grab your heart and say, "I got to have one like that now," or "I want that one." Maybe that guy could die and I could have his truck. That would be a wrong heart, wouldn't it? But do you see where it could end up? But if we say, "Jesus, that's a nice truck, but I'm so thankful for mine." You know? Don't complain if yours has a lot of miles. Mine has 329,000, praise God. Just getting broke in. Maybe so. Hope so. We got to be thankful. And coveting steals that thankfulness, which then steals God of getting the credit, doesn't it? Because we're not going to go back to God and say thank you when our heart is totally invested in these things that are here of this world. Raise your hand if you've heard a message like this on Thanksgiving. So, we've got to make sure that our hearts are pure, that our hearts are focused on what they need to be focused on. I think that's the problem with coveting, is we focus on something that's temporary instead of focus on the one who's forever. And I'm grateful that God gave us this as a commandment, not to covet. And in reality, it does affect us. It affects our attitudes, and it affects our mentality. Because then, again, as I think I said, we won't be praising God like he deserves, which would certainly affect us. But if we're praising God and saying, "Jesus, thank you for what you've provided for me and my family," then the blessings keep flowing, because then I turned back and I gave God the credit and I gave him the glory for it. And now he's then willing, and we're in a position where he can continue to bless us further. But if we withhold that, I wonder sometimes if we withhold then and keep God from blessing us, because we don't turn back and say, "God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the blessing in my life." And we're not living that way when we're coveting. When we're looking over here and we're looking over there, "Well, I don't have that, and I need that. I want that." And it's a jealousy. It's wanting what other people have. "Yours is better than mine, and I want to look good too." And he says, you got make sure you don't covet. You must not covet. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He said, "Hey, Timothy, true godliness with contentment is great gain or great wealth." If you can have godliness attached with contentment, that contentment would be the opposite of us coveting. Contentment is saying, "Man, I'm good with what I have. And I'm thankful. And I'm thankful to God for it." Paul tells Timothy, a young minister, he says, "Man, that's going to be great wealth if you can have godliness along with the right heart and right attitude," right? The right heart and then the attitude that says, "I'm good with what I have, and I don't need much more. I don't need a lot of things." And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Look at this. This is pretty fitting. "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." Whatever you do. Raise your hand if you do some things, whatever you do. Anybody do whatever you do? Yeah, I do whatever I do. You do whatever you do. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you're representing Jesus wherever you go, whatever you say, however you do it, you're representing Jesus. So then, whether it's accurate or not, we're representing Jesus. So then we have to be careful how we represent him. We want other people to understand good and wonderful and pure and holy things about Jesus, right? But is that what we're always how we're always representing him? Don't raise your hands. That's a challenge to us, isn't it? Whatever you do or whatever you say, excuse me, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Look at this last part. Giving thanks through him. Now, him is Jesus. Giving thanks through Jesus to God the Father. Whatever you do, give thanks. Whatever you do, give God thanks through Christ. You know, I wonder, is anybody here thankful for Jesus today? Is anybody thankful for the blood that he shed for you? Is anybody thankful that he died on the cross for you? Is anybody thankful that he was raised from the grave for you? Hallelujah. Anybody thankful that he ascended to the right hand of God for you? Anybody thankful that he intercedes for you? Me too. Me too. So really, church, we have a lot to be thankful for. Anybody have a roof over their heads? Anybody thankful for that roof? Anybody have food in your tummy this morning? Some of you skip breakfast. You guys don't have to be so literal. I just love it when things are going great. And then I'm messing with you. Listen, I love to have fun around here, and I'm just grateful. Now you're hungry. Please forgive me. I try not to talk too much about food, but what are you having for lunch? I'm just kidding. We're about there anyway, okay? Would you bow your hearts?